What's up, everybody? Welcome to Music for the Messes. My name's Keith, and my wonderful co-host,
Mel. Are you going to say my name, or was I supposed to say it?
You can do whatever you want.
Say my name. Say my name.
Right?
It depends on who shows up to the show, if it's right. Mel or Tori.
They can do. I think it's Mel today.
It's Mel today.
Yeah. Tori's taking a rest. And Mike's got wild on Saturday night.
Oh, God, she did.
What did Tori do on Saturday night, may I ask? And this is Mike, by the way.
We got together with some friends, and we played Cards Against Humanity, and Tori went off. A lot. Okay. Off the rails. You can't help it. That game just brings out the best in her.
Cards Against Humanity doesn't bring out the best in anybody.
No, but it's nasty.
I'm not even going to comment on that. I'm just going to get back to the music.
Oh,
because,
okay.
So, welcome to music. Jeez Louise, welcome to Music
for the
Messes.
I got you all
messes.
Flustered, babe.
Yeah.
He's all verklempt over there.
Right?
Yeah. Where we bring you some unsanitized commentary on music. Well, not really. We just bring you topics that we bring songs to. We have a joint song. We have an old song. We have a new song. And we have a genre bender song, and this week's topic is collaborations. And this is a great one because there's so many great collaborations that we have across the board. And me and Mike are going to get spoiled this week because probably one of our favorite songs of all time is our joint.
Yep.
Yes.
Which is Bring the Noise with Anthrax and Public Enemy.
That's
and
right.
As I'm playing this, or he's playing in the car, all I'm thinking is these two fools singing that damn song.
Bass! Hello, can you
Hello,
go?
Can you go?
Death Row! That was I had in my head.
This might be the song that actually brought this entire podcast together. I was a guest on the Rock Hippie Adventures, and you guys have been on Whack Brackets, I think, before that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we knew that Keith and I got along really well based on our discussions there. But then once we got to discuss rap music, et cetera, and our collab love, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. For particularly this song as well as East Coast rap, we decided that this kind of podcast needed to be done. So, yeah, Bring the Noise. It's kind of a cheat song in a way.
Because
the original, as we mentioned, I think on the Rock Hippie Adventures is the original was off the Lesson Zero soundtrack and was fucking awesome. And the way that this happened actually is Anthrax, the white boys they are, they loved rap music too.
Yes.
And they, especially Scott Ian, used to wear Public Enemy shirts. And seriously, and the guys from Public Enemy thought he was just kind of like fucking with them. Like, oh, he's kind of making fun of us. And he's like, no, I'm dead serious. I love your fucking music.
Yeah.
And somehow or another, those two got together and started playing together. And this is one of those songs that's, I didn't think it could, I'm not sure it's better than the original, but it's heavier. It's pretty fucking dope.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I mean, you have the Public Enemy original version. Then you actually have the Anthrax where they do their own version of it because they cover it. Then you have the collab between the two, which I agree with them playing, with Anthrax playing and then Chuck D coming in.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's just
it's like the best of both worlds. Like, well, you get both sides of it in one little track.
What you see is a better, more polished version of what Run DMC and Aerosmith did. That's how I feel.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Yeah, it's not just even a better, more polished. I think the thing is, and this is no slam on Run DMC because I love Run DMC. I was a huge Aerosmith fan for many years, so I'm not dissing on that, but Run DMC all but pulled Aerosmith out of the musical gutter.
Yeah.
They were kind of nobodies again for a while, and Run DMC brought them back. Run DMC is great, but they are not. They are like ice cream to Public Enemy's, like razor blade salad.
Yes.
And,
well, no, you're right. Yeah.
That's true.
And Anthrax is very similar in a way that Anthrax was one of the, especially Charlie Benante's drumming, he's insane. And those guys just play fat. They were real speed metal, but with a guy that sang opera practically with Joey Belladonna. And they were something different. And they were starting to really get some traction around this time. So it wasn't like Run DMC, which, don't get me wrong, again, fabulous, but kind of pulling Aerosmith off the scrap heap. This was two bands near the top of their genre. Mm-hmm. And bringing the peanut butter and jelly together, as Mel has so eloquently put on our timeline. And it's fabulous.
Yeah, it's for me, it's like when I think about different classes, especially when you're talking about a rock type of genre with a rap type of genre, this has always been at the top.
Yeah,
if not number one all the time from my level, because one, what Run DMC did, they took Aerosmith's song and translated it. Public Enemy's, it was Public Enemy's song that Anthrax took, mm-hmm. and it was already just a ridiculously powerful song. I mean, mm-hmm. you listen to the lyrics through that song, and you're like, oh my gosh. And then you take somebody who's got the talent that, like you said, Anthrax was, I was already listening to Anthrax. I was, mm-hmm. it was one of the few rock bands in that time period that mm-hmm. I was listening to because they were nuts. And also what caught me was, is I caught a video of Scott Ian wearing Public Enemy shirt. And I'm like, that's cool as hell. Yeah. Let me check this band out. And that's mm-hmm. what, right. that, I mean, those are little things I think about when you think about different collabs or things like that, especially when it's genre crossing. The way that you get caught into other people's music is because of what catches your eye sometimes. Maybe mm-hmm. you never really, like, I would have never listened to Anthrax if I didn't see Scott Ian in a magazine with a Public Enemy shirt on.
Right.
And then I found, oh, man, they did this collab. And I mean, it just kept building. I was like, well, now I can listen to this band because I think they're cool. Then you find out their music's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. it just builds on that. So I love collabs with stuff like this.
Awesome. Yeah. It was kind of a no-brainer for everybody.
Yeah, and I'm glad that this actually, I had considered this honestly for the genre bender, but I talked about because arguably it was, but it wasn't.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And so I went a different direction, but so when you guys brought it to me, I was like, oh, perfect, I get to talk about this song too.
Yeah,
but the one thing that gets grossly underrated about Public Enemy is, don't get me wrong, everybody loves Chuck D's voice. He's got one of the best voices probably in the history of man. And he's got a great voice. People love their Flavor Flav. He's a little Flavor annoying at
Flav.
Times.
Oh.
But the reality of it is that Terminator X is probably the most violent scratcher of any guy. And most of those guys have the smooth scratching. Don't get me wrong. It's like Eric B's got the smooth mm-hmm. scratching. Jam Master J. And Terminator X, it's like he's assaulting someone.
Yeah. It really is.
It just fits the style of Public Enemy. That aggressive scratching wouldn't go with a lot of bands, but Public Enemy being Public Enemy, it just fits well. Yeah. So.
It was good stuff. It was good stuff.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I like that song, though.
So going from the great collab of Anthrax and Public Enemy.
I know, I'm going to get shit for this.
We're bringing our old.
I told you, I'm done like second-guessing myself. It was the first thing I thought of. I just threw it out there, and I left it alone.
Yes, you did.
I can't even say it with a straight face.
You can try.
So I had the old pick, and I took it back to the days of Lita Ford and Ozzy Osbourne. Close my eyes. I didn't say I picked a good song. I just said I picked one.
Yeah. It is definitely...
It was really one just a throwaway. Like, you know when you have a bad hand, you're like, yeah, it's a throwaway. That was it. I'll never use them again. I just had to get rid of it. It's fine.
I could see using Ozzy for something, but definitely not Lita.
Well, no. But, yeah, so
we'll leave Ozzy out there and call this a Lita Ford song.
Yeah, it technically is a Lita Ford song.
It is, 100%. And it was actually, I read a little bit of information on the back end of it, and Sharon Osbourne was the one who kind of persuaded Ozzy into getting in on the track. So I'm not even sure that would have even been a collab unless Sharon got involved in it.
Well, I think Lita signed Sharon Osbourne had like a management.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she had a management company or something, exactly. And that's how. So
So I think it was honestly, it was probably a publicity move.
Yeah, it didn't hurt.
Lita Ford needed some Ozzy on there. I don't mind the song. I mean, I loved it when I was younger because it was like. You know, when you're a teenage girl, it's like one of those songs. It's like fantasy, romantical. Yeah, like dead, dying. I don't know, whatever. But anyways, it's not the best song, but I enjoy it. I sang it every time you played in the car. I knew all the words. Like, I didn't even have to stop to think.
Yeah, this is the first time I've heard this song in probably 20 years, and I didn't miss it.
Yeah.
And it's I didn't miss it at all. And Ozzy just... he's just mailing it in. You can tell.
Oh my god!
And Lita, the thing about Lita Ford is she played in a band with Joan Jett. It seems like she's always been trying to catch up to Joan Jett. Yeah. Oh, God, and she's just, yeah, Joan Jett's badass. Lita Ford, she's always concerned me a little bit. Yeah, she, Lita Ford kind of scares me as a human being a little bit. I don't know why.
Do tell.
I don't really know why. She just looks like, I don't know. She's concerning. I get the impression she probably kicked my ass.
And I was going to say, when I see Lita Ford, I think of, like, you know, when you watch the 80 vampires movies, kind of like Lost Boys, and you see the vampires, and she looks like a real life version of a bad makeup job of a vampire.
Oh,
I'm just
because
that.
Well,
when
maybe
you think,
she sleeps in a casket.
She
I don't
probably
know.
Does, but then again, I'm gonna say she. It's not that she's not talented. It's not that she.
I don't
make,
know anything else by her. Like that's legitimately the only.
Kiss
song
me
I've
deadly.
Oh yeah, I forgot about. Oh god,
kiss me once.
Yeah, you're right.
Kiss me twice. Yeah.
It's just.
She's got a lot of death undertones in her music then, apparently.
It's
she's
just,
probably eating back.
It's just Lita Ford. And like Mike said, because I think trying to get out of the shadow of Joan Jett, which is not possible because Joan Jett's like...
She freaking is amazing.
Like, yeah, I mean...
She's my go-to karaoke song. Person. Singer songs every time in karaoke. I can't do them justice, but I like them.
Yeah, this is the collab that it's like every time you hear, today... Rock ballads, get your 20 songs, 1-800. You know, that's what I think of when I hear this song.
Yeah, I didn't say it was a good song. I just said it was a song.
Well, you got that.
you nailed it. But the thing about this song, too, that I hate, I really, first off, as it's all been documented, well documented, that Ozzy gets these great guitar players. But for some reason, this song sounds like it wants to be Randy Rhoads more than any of the rest of them. We're like, Jakey Lee had his own fucking sound. And I love Jakey Lee, so no trash on Jakey Lee. I'm not a big Zach Wilde fan, but at least Zach came in. But this song has it tries to sound very chordsy and very, it sounds like the ghost of Randy Rhoads threw up in Mr. Crowley's toilet because it's got the, like, the synth in the middle and there's all kinds of shit going on. It's like, it takes forever to get there, and then you think they're going to come in big, and it's just like this big synthy thing that's kind of distorted or something. It sounds like Mr. Crowley's, like I said, his weak brother, and then they end on a dissonant note. It's like, oh yeah, that's real spooky, Ozzy. Yeah, nope. You know, your best days are behind you, and he's really never been the same since.
No. Maybe she.
This
put
could.
A spell
this
on
song
him.
Could. This song sort of could have single handedly ruined Ozzy Osbourne's career.
Well, then, yeah. That's a hell of a collab, isn't it? When it ruins your career instead of making it better.
So would Post Malone be cited for bringing Ozzy's career back?
No, I don't even think that even helped, honestly. I think Post Malone was like, I'll try it, but we'll see what happens. And he's like, nah, it didn't work. go back there.
I'm going to say this. Ozzy Osbourne will forever be, like, when I think of just crazy, like, dark, spooky ass rock metal, the first person I always think of is Ozzy.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah,
because when I was a kid, I want you to think about
the
when
bat.
I was a kid.
He ate the bat head.
No, yeah. It wasn't that. It was the Howling at the Moon. Mm. That damn video where he's a werewolf.
Bark at the Moon.
Bark at the Moon. Thank you.
Bark at the Moon.
Bark
at the Moon.
See, that's Jakey Lee.
And I'm like, that damn video forever. Scarred me at night because it comes on at night and I'm
they used to do it in that what was that show they used to have on MTV that was at the nighttime
Headbanger Ball.
Yeah, that's when it would be on there.
That was a song that shouldn't have been on Headbanger's Ball either,
but it was.
Yeah,
because I'd babysit and be like, fuck, I can't watch that thing, but not now.
I was a little more scared, I think, of Ozzy even because I started out on the Ozzy train a little earlier because a guy had down the street from me in our little redneck neighborhood, he had the Ozzy Osbourne albums. And Mr. Crowley is fucking, especially the Randy Rhoads stuff. Ozzy went from Black Sabbath, which is good, sludgy, heavy, but everybody knew Ozzy. It was kind of like, oh, they're devil worshipers. But then that shit off of what are the two albums? Diary of a Madman and Blizzard of Oz. Shit like Mr. Crowley just sounds fucking evil.
Yeah.
And he would play this shit and I'm like thinking there's fucking demons resurrecting from the from the key from the musical, you know, the record and shit. And then you had Ozzy on the front looking all creepy and shit. And it's like, God damn, this is freaking me out. I think I had nightmares about Ozzy Osbourne. And then he fucking puts this out. If I had the sheet music to this, I wouldn't even wipe my ass with it because it's not even worth that. It's not even good enough to be toilet paper material. This should never be used for anything. This is a terrible song.
No,
awful.
It's awful. I'm glad I brought the bad song of the week.
Yeah.
That was my goal, actually.
This might be the bad song of the year so far, honestly.
Well,
unless you guys throw Prong under the bus again. My boy Daniel at the Mustachio Podcastio sent me a private message and said he agreed with me that riff on Prong is badass. So fuck you guys.
No, the riff was great, but shit, the song,
now, if
man.
He said the song's shitty.
But it's okay. It's okay.
It's all right. It's all right.
It's okay.
Hey, so we can't agree with everything.
We're going to jump from a banger in the joint to this shit you brought for the old, and we're going to go back to a banger. Now, this song for the new is, it was awesome because this collab is called Carry the Weight. It was a collab. It's a We Came as Romans song, but when the shutdown happened, the band started scrambling, you know.
Yeah, they were trying to do anything they could.
They weren't touring. So a bunch of people went
home
back into
concerts.
Studios.
Yeah.
So there was a few bands, and especially in the field of metalcore that I listen to, these guys just, they're a tight circle. So, the guys from We Came as Romans hooked up with the guys from Fit for a King, mainly Ryan Kirby, and they did this song, Carry the Weight. Now, Carry the Weight was one of the two songs that was released right after Cal Pavone's death. Cal Pavone was the front clean vocals for We Came as Romans. Unfortunately, he died from a drug overdose. It was just, the dude had a problem, and he struggled with it for a long time. He got clean, but it was sad, man. It hit our world and our music scene, or in this genre, particularly really hard. And these guys have been together forever. So they dropped the song with Carry the Weight, and super awesome song, and then they collabed it. But when you bring Ryan in on a song, and his screams are so damn brutal. Thank you for doing that.
Well, it's letting you know that you have an update.
Yeah, thank you.
It's like a sign.
You know when you plan everything properly for a podcast and you think you got all the right sounds turned off and then your computer says, fuck you.
Maybe it was a sign.
Was it a sign?
You never know. Shit happens.
Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, so they actually – so Fit for a King and We Came as Romans kind of did this little studio thing with each other. They both did a collab on each of one another's songs. But okay. This song is the one I picked. I love it. I've listened to this song from We Came as Romans since it dropped, and I have listened to this song again over and over and over with the collab. It's heavy. It's brutal. And
it's awesome.
I love it.
Fills a car up really nice.
Mm-hmm. It really does.
Yeah.
I'm interested in what you think about it, because that's not like your wheelhouse.
Well, I'll say a few nice things about it, and then nothing really nasty about it. This is not my style of music, but there's a lot to like about this one particularly. I don't know what tuning that's in, but it's like drop Q or some fucking shit. It sounds like it's like it's an amazingly I love those when a band can control those drop tunings and keep them sounding in tune. I think sometimes it gets a little sloppy. This sounded pretty tight.
I think this was actually in drop B.
Okay, that could make some sense. Because, yeah, it's pretty fucking low. I did like the main, kind of the chorus of the song. Mm-hmm. I thought the chorus was pretty solid. If I had a complaint, really it wasn't about the song. Again, not my wheelhouse, but I liked it enough. It wasn't one that that instantly turned me off, which is usually, this is probably one I could listen back to a few times and get into. But the one thing that I would have liked to have heard more of is they sounded like they used a kind of corn-like bass, but doesn't sound very bassy. It almost sounds more attacky. And I like a song that has a lower bass sound to it. Mm-hmm. I felt like I think this song could have benefited from a lower bass, something that sounded more bassy than more poppy. So that was just a small complaint. But yeah, it's a
Well, this was the turn where And unfortunately, this wasn't my favorite song. This is not my favorite song by We Came as Romans, by no means. It just has more of a sentimental value to it. But mm-hmm. this is when they started turning a different corner and changing their music a little bit, which this is why, like, the album before this.
You don't like it at all.
I hated it.
He hates it.
I hated that album from them because I understand you grow musically, but it just, there was so much different, like, it. There was no identity.
You were searching for a track that reminded you of them, and there just wasn't a one.
Well,
in it
just, but just I to loved hear the it sound. Yeah, you loved it.
Because it wasn't like, I wasn't, because I'm not an old, diehard, you know, We Came as Romans fan. So,
it was that change, and this song kind of carried over from it. But because of the value that it has sentimentally, it became one that I could listen to over and over.
Right.
They do a good mix in my mind of like the super heavy, but then pulling it back just enough where you get like that breath in there or that break in there mm-hmm. before they go at it hard again, which is what I appreciate about it. Like, that's just like my kind of thing. Cause I don't listen to the same kind of music you do, but I do enjoy, I love Fit for a King though. Like, I love them.
Yeah.
But for me, it's nice to have that collab for them. They added their own little thing to it. It's good stuff.
Yeah,
it was not a bad song. I was curious to see, like I said, it's always interesting to see where Keith goes. And I think we mentioned this regularly now, is that you guys definitely, we diverge at a certain point in music where you guys go in one direction and I go obviously in a different direction. So it's nice to be exposed to things that if we all just sat on here and brought in songs and blew each other off about.
That's why I brought Lita Ford. I'm gonna be honest with you. I felt like we agree on so much that I really needed to mix it up a little bit. So you're welcome.
Well, we all agreed that the song sucks. So
I kind of liked it when I was 12 or 13. No, well, I don't even know what year that was. What year was that? I didn't even look.
Look, if we
99.
All, if we all brought stuff that we all liked, then we wouldn't have anything to talk about sometimes.
No, I like it. I haven't even put, I mean, I really honestly, I haven't even shared any of the music I honestly listen to.
Yeah.
Not any of it.
Really? Why not?
Because I don't want to use them yet. So I'm using all the trash.
she's gonna use that one song from like Breaking Benjamin or somebody like that, and she's gonna like, and then there's gonna be this topic that comes along and she goes, and that's the time I wanted to use that motherfucker.
I really haven't used, but honestly, they haven't even come up in my mind. Like, when we talk about topics of things, like, it hasn't, there's been other songs I think that fit what we've talked about better, it hasn't happened yet, but it will.
We need to get to the genre bender.
Yeah.
Because this one is great.
It is. Oh, you like it? I thought you would love it or hate it.
I love this damn
song.
It's
awesome. We enjoyed it. It was a good pick, sir.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, this is, as has been mentioned, I think, repeatedly on the show, is I went through a phase particularly where I listened to a lot of alt country. And I've actually found myself listening to it a little more again lately, just this weekend for some odd reason. I got back into Todd Snyder again. I love Todd Snyder. He's probably my favorite of that genre. But a couple of the other favorites that I have are Corb Lund, who sings just crazy. Corb Lund's insane. He's so good. But then probably the guy closest to a Todd Snyder is Hayes Carl. And these two guys have somehow met each other and become quite friendly with each other. And they collabed on this song called Bible on the Dash, which is just a fucking banger of a song. It's Corb Lund, I think, probably wrote the riff to it. It sounds more Corb Lundy than Hayes Carly. But Corb Lund is fucking fabulous. And the lyrics to the song, given Keith's background, especially as soon as this came up, like I said, I originally thought maybe the Anthrax song. I was like, nah, because again, it's not really a genre bender. But then I was like, okay, this is definitely a genre bender, and this is one that I'd listen to unironically quite regularly when I get into my phases. These are two of my favorite alt country artists, and to put them together, it's an all-star show. And I'll let Keith, especially, I'd love to hear Keith's opinion on the lyrics.
So I had to listen to it about three times to get to take everything in. But oh my gosh, like, I feel like when I heard the lyrics, you feel that, you know, it's kind of a, like this play on religion and how people, you know, you But I'm sitting there thinking, I was like, how many people I know that were in church with me use the Bible or use Christianity or use church in that very manner? Yeah. And I'm like, that's excellent. I love the song. I love the lyrics. I love the flow of them. I love the meaning behind what he was saying. That old Bible on the dash. I don't need no insurance. I don't even need buy these fake. I don't need these fake IDs I've been buying. I just. I mean, I love that because it's there's so much poignancy and truth in what he's saying. Like, even though you feel like it's just a fun song, a comedy kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a lot of like realism behind that. It's too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just. But yeah, no, I enjoyed it. Like I said, not just because it was, you know, a good song, good music, but also, you know, it, even though this kind of this play on everything, the whole time I'm listening to it, I'm literally theologically like dissecting it in my brain too and putting it on people. So yeah, good stuff.
There you go. Yeah, it was good.
Good. Yeah, it's if you guys ever want to get into alt country ish. Like I said, I'm not one of those guys that listens to everything just because it's popular or because it's what everybody else listens to alt country. I listen to that sort of style, much like I listen to my scissor fights and my local H's, is I'll gravitate towards things I really like. And both of these artists to me are near the top of that genre. Those guys, Todd Snyder, I love Slade Cleaves, though he's a little cleaner, but he's great. Adam Carroll. I could give you guys a handful of guys that are great. And these two, when the collab thing came up and I was able to put probably two of my favorite five alt country artists together and use it for a genre bender because it's a, I was actually happy. I was really excited that this fell on me for the genre bender because I really couldn't think of. I would have struggled to think of a song outside of "Bring the Noise." I think that I would have used anyway. So this is a good one.
Yeah, I did too.
I had no problem. I had collabs in every bracket.
What multiple. Else would you have picked though for old? I don't even know. I don't even know if I even thought about
for
it
for old. For me, if I would have had old, I would absolutely done Queen and David Bowie. It is my favorite.
Oh, okay, I could, that's true.
That. I mean, it's like
that didn't even go in my head.
I think you mentioned that, and I'd forgotten all about that song. I bought that that Hot Space album back then, and good album really was, but it was different than some of their other stuff. They would loot. Let me put it this way: the Hot Space album had Put Out the Fire on it, I think, too, and it had some great songs. But it was funny. It was when Queen, for some stupid reason, started losing steam. I think they just got so fucking hot with "We Are the Champion," the News of the World, and then they had another one, "Bites the Dust," which was huge. And then they put out this great album that literally people were just kind of shitting on. It's like, I don't know why. And then they like lost all their momentum until, and I know this is going to sound awful, until Freddie Mercury got AIDS and people started caring about Queen. And they're like, oh my God, they were really fucking good. We just forgot about it or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of songs. Cause for me, it's like, I just pick up on collabs. I love when one of my favorite things is when two people come together and make music that are not normally making music. Yeah. There's something special.
Yeah.
About
that's why I picked mine.
Yeah, I see that.
No, I probably could have come up with something else, but, I changed my mind so many times. I was like, fuck it.
I'm glad you kept that one, honestly. Well, it made for good fodder, if nothing else.
That's true.
Cannon fodder.
Yeah. Stupid.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Always. Anyways, thanks, guys and girls. That's our show for today. We hope you enjoyed it. Let us know what your favorite collab is. Hit us up on the Instagram, Music for the Messes. Hit us up on the Twitter, Music for the Messes. And if they want to send us an email, Mike, what do you think they should do with that?
They can send it to Lita Ford and Ozzy Osbourne's Collab Blows Goats at musicforthemesses.com. They could also send it to Randy Rhodes throwing up in Mr. Crowley's toilet at whitebrackets.com. Not whitebrackets, at Music for the Messes. I get on my little rants here of saying things, and then all of a sudden I forget what podcast I'm on. I'm too comfortable. I gotta take this more seriously. But now, anything at Music for the Messes. If you have anything specific for Keith or Mel or Tori, she didn't really show her ugly head this show, but sometimes, Yeah, Mel was on her best behavior today.
Yeah.
But if you have anything specifically to say to them, Mel, Tori, Keith, any of those guys at musicforthemessage.com or Mike at musicforthemessage.com, I'll take it. Yeah, that's it.
Cool.
Sweet. We'll see you next time.
Bye, bitches. Bye-bye.